This is the Tech Arts Network.
Welcome to Church Grip, episode 17. Today I'm going to give a review of the Soundcraft SI Compacts. Church Grip is a 10-minute or less podcast about church media and technology. We purchased a Soundcraft console recently, the SI Compact. Wanted to kind of give you a quick review of the features of that console as well as how I would compare it with an LS9. Let me run down some of the quick highlights of the features of this console. I'll put a link in the show notes so you can get a little bit more detail. This console comes in 16, 24, and 32 XLR input frames. It has an LCR bus plus 14 aux buses. There are 16 physical XLR outs. There are 4 matrix buses and 4 effects buses. The console also includes 2 quarter-inch stereo inputs, which is kind of interesting if you compare it with some of the other digitals out there that only can give you XLR. This is really handy for iPod inputs and things like that, not requiring you to get a DI for each of those inputs. Kind of a nice feature. It also has 4 quarter-inch inserts and returns, not a standard insert jack that's tapering sleeve, but actually separate inserts and returns. And these can be customized through the software interface to be put on any of the channels that you would like to use those inserts on. It has stereo AES in and out built in, a word clock connector, MIDI in and out. It has a HiQNet port for future HiQNet control. I understand that they're working on an iPad interface to be able to control the console. It also has an offline editor. Right now, it doesn't appear to have any online control, but there is an offline editor for building shows. This can be handy if you're using the console in different environments and need to build different shows. It has 4 mute groups. It also has 1 card expansion slot that works with any of the SI cards from the full SI line, not just the SI Compact, but the larger SI consoles. Those cards include an AVIOM card, also 2 MADI card options, one with fiber optic connections, the other with Cat5 twisted pair connections. Kind of wish they had a coax card as well, because a lot of devices seem to support the coax still, and that's just a real easy connector to make and maintain. Also available are a few AES cards that give you, I think, either 8 outputs or 4 more AES outputs. But the great thing about this expansion card slot that's different from the LS9 consoles is this is a 64 by 64 card slot. On the Yamaha consoles, they are only 16 by 16. This gives you much greater flexibility. You can drop in a 64 channel MADI card and record every single channel from the console for multi-tracking and the like, or to run to a Roland M48 personal mixer system and have up to 40 channels available in that system. This is a really powerful feature that's definitely a step up over the Yamaha line for sure. Let me take a minute or two here and kind of go over what I see as pros for this console. Number one, just about every parameter has a control knob, which makes for really easy operation. No arrowing through menus to set different parameters. The compressors, the gates, the high pass filter, even a delay knob, I don't know why, but is available on the surface for each channel. And this makes it really easy to just select a channel, grab it, dial, and start adjusting whatever you need to adjust. I find myself a lot of times, only mainly during the setup time, but arrowing through a lot of menus on the lower end consoles, particularly the LS9, and the SI Compact has a huge leg up on this. Feels very much like an analog console, other than the layout isn't linear, it's a little more horizontal, but you can basically just select a channel and adjust any parameter without going through any menus, which is very handy. You also have one assignable encoder that is on each channel that's available at all times, and that can be assigned to be the gain, the pan, or the high pass filter frequency setting. This is really handy. So on this console, if assuming you have gain selected, you actually have a gain knob for each input. You don't have to select that channel to set the gain. This, of course, is really, really a big advantage when you're doing a lot of quick setup during maybe, you know, a talent show kind of event where you got multiple different performers, or you know, you're doing a show at a different venue and you just really need to get gain set up quickly in a short sound check period. This is a huge advantage over some of the other consoles where you just simply have to select the channel to set the gain. This console also includes Lexicon effects, which I just really like the quality of myself. Personally, I'm a big fan of Lexicon effects, and you get four channels of Lex effects, and in the testing that I've done, they sound really nice. This console also has the Soundcraft sound. I never really have been a fan of the Yamaha sound, which seems to be a little bit more sterile, maybe a little brighter sound, cleaner sound. The Soundcraft consoles tend to have a little bit warmer, a little more natural sound to me, and that definitely was apparent in the preamps in this console. Soundcraft has also included a 31-band equalizer on every output of this console. This is a super nice feature, you know, giving you the ability to EQ each one of your mixes, you know, whether they're going to physical, you know, monitors or whether you just want to have a separate EQ on each one of your channels going to, you know, different mixes you've got going out there. And, you know, being BSS, it's going to be a good quality EQ included in there as well. The colored fader track that's available on all of the Soundcraft digital consoles, if you've never seen this, it's really great. Really allows people to know where they are at on the console. A lot of times as operators, especially newer operators, they tend to look at the controls and not the screen. So, you know, it makes it very clear when you're in sends on fader and all the fader tracks turn green, or if you're mixing on an EQ and all the fader tracks turn red. It also highlights all ganged channels or channels that are ganged together in blue so that you can see that fader is in a different mode. These are really handy because, again, a lot of people don't notice the screen, and while they're looking at the fader, they can quickly identify that the console's in a different mode. In fact, my kids really like the console because it's got pretty colors all over it. And, you know, us tech guys, we like lots of lights, and this console certainly delivers on that front. There's also a channel clear button on the console, which is really useful. There are a lot of times you may use a console for different mix situations, and you can basically hold down the channel clear button and touch the select button on any track at any time, and that will zero out the console for that particular channel. And that's a really handy feature. I really like being able to clear out a channel and start from the beginning. There may be, you know, a channel that you're using for different soloists or different instruments that connect to that channel, and it's really easy to clear it out and start from the beginning. There are a few cons on this console. Number one, the channel EQ is not fully parametric. Would really like a 4-band full parametric EQ on each channel, although it is fairly functional with the two mid channels having Q options. The high and low frequency channel or EQ bands are sweepable, but they just don't have a Q support. On each of the consoles, whether it's a 16, 24, or 32, they've left off two faders. Each of the consoles have 14 input channels, 22 input channels, or 30 input channels, depending on whether you are 16, 24, or 32 faders on the Surface. Now, you do have a channel A and channel B switch, so you certainly can have, you know, two banks of faders, but why just leave two out? I don't understand why you just wouldn't put the other two channels on there. You have a full 32 XLR inputs on the surface, so why not give you 32 faders to be able to mix on? It just seems a little crazy to me. This is probably the biggest miss I've found on this console. I just don't understand why they wouldn't add the two extra faders and give you the capability to, on one layer or one channel bank, mix all 32 inputs. The other thing that I don't quite get is why is there a delay time setting on each individual channel, and they've invested in putting an encoder on the Surface for that. This is just a feature that I don't think I use that much. There's probably been a few occasions where I've used that. In fact, I probably use it more on bus outputs than I do on channel inputs themselves. So I really don't know why they put there. I would rather them traded that delay encoder input for the two extra channel faders that they left off. I could see that people could get in trouble with this, grabbing the wrong, channel and delaying that channel a bit, and then you're ending up with some really weird results. And remember, this is an entry-level console, so you're typically going to have more entry-level people operating it, and I think that's a fairly dangerous feature to have on the console, on the Surface itself. And the other thing that I didn't like, and really this isn't a dislike of, I guess, Soundcraft, but pretty much every digital console that I've ever worked on, they have a main on and off, and I get why it's there, and for experienced users, I totally understand, but I can't tell you the number of phone calls I get from people who need support, who somebody went through and turned that main channel off. And it's just something that, I find that I mute the channel inputs. I don't really ever mute the entire console. So I just find that as a stumbling block for the console to go into rooms with less experienced operators operating the console. Okay, so let me give you a quick rundown of how I would compare the SI Compact to the LS9. I have both consoles at Sugar Creek, and let me just give you a quick rundown of my thoughts. The SI Compact is definitely easier to set up. I do like the more graphic EQs on all of the bus outputs. I find that I'm limited to about four typically on my LS9 setup. Now, most of the time that's okay. Your mains, your monitors, you should be okay. But having that flexibility is great in environments where you may be mixing ears or doing other functions. I think there's better effects in the SI Compact than in the LS9. The LS9s are decent, but overall I just like the sound of the SI Compact console over the LS9. The LS9 has the USB stick playback and recording. That is a feature I would love to see added to the SI Compact. That is definitely an advantage for the LS9. And I do like the operation of the SI Compact. It doesn't seem to need the home button. I seem to live with my finger on the home button on the LS9. I'm just always making changes and needing to go back to the home. And just the layout of the SI Compact is definitely better for usability, I think, in that area. The LS9 definitely is a little bit more flexible on the dynamic effects, in that you've got de-essers and some of the other options on your two different dynamics. On the SI Compact, you have a gate and a compressor, and they're kind of fixed in that setup. So the LS9 is a little more flexible there. Although personally, me as a mixer tends to only use a gate or a compressor. Rarely am I working with a de-esser. I handle that stuff through the EQ, and I don't hardly ever use a ducker on the LS9. Also, the SI Compact has the advantage of the 64-channel input and output card. And, Yamaha's limited to the 16. The 16 certainly works for Avion, but doesn't give you a lot of flexibility if you want to look at the Roland mixers or some of the other products that are out, going to be coming out with higher channel counts. I think that's a big limitation on the Yamaha's side. Also, Soundcraft, thinking of just a couple of quarter-inch inputs, really makes it convenient for working with different types of inputs. I often find myself going, oh, darn, I don't have XLR to eighth inch for headphones, and I don't really want to carry around a large direct box in my laptop bag to go to different places to be able to hook up and go XLR. I know XLR is a better format, but sometimes it's just really convenient to have some quarter inch inputs to be able to connect devices up like that. Also, the AES input and output in the two-track format can be really handy, one for recording, hooking up some monitors, or, you know, definitely working with the JBL line. They're really thinking about their product family, the Harman product family, and giving you AES out on the console, because a lot of the new JBL professional speakers have AES input cards on them. That way you can run all digital up to your powered speakers, which I think is a real advantage off of the SI Compact series as well. Well, that's about all I have today. Sorry we went a little long over the 10-minute mark, but I hope you found this to be some good info, and hope you have a great week.